This recording, England 36, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge and checked herself into the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so made this her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itching goose became so to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an old choice for their name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, and singing a final tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her effects were not futile, so it was in no time the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma, giving her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on the right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effect treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this, of course, of the treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire's lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. My mother was Irish, and I've lived here most of my life, which is a wonderful place. It was once Torrington, it is now Great Torrington, and I would never leave here, even it would have to be in a box. But what else can I say about my life? I've done everything I could to help the town. Muriel and I received a silver plate for the voluntary works that we did for the town. And we've got to the age now when we think we must hang up our hats or whatever you say in Canada. I went to a convent in Ilfracombe, which were French nuns there. And they were wonderful. And at one time I thought of becoming a nun because I thought that was the only life that I ever knew. But once I left, I came back and I worked in the chemist here at Boots. And then I was called up into a factory during the war and had a lovely time really with all the troops, American troops might I add, lots of dancings and all that. Then I came back and got married and had one son. Oh yes, I was making valves for a radio location and I went to a place called Crookern, which is 10 miles from Yeovil. And I cried when I had to go, leaving Torrington, but when I got there I really enjoyed it. Well, all I remember really was being at boarding school, you see, and you know, but every 3 months we came home for a weekend and then we went back again. It was a beautiful place, and the nuns were wonderfully, and they were so good looking. And you know that they wore, I don't know what it would be in English, but they wore a coif. And you see, the little curls used to poke out sometimes, and we used to say, you know, your curls are showing, and there you go, this, because it was against their religion. You see, I'm a Catholic, and it was against their religion to shove any vanity or anything like that. But it was a wonderful place, and like I said, at one time I thought I should have been a nun. But here I am, none of this, none of that, and none of the other.